Hey, everybody, welcome to the Daily Objective. And today we're going to be talking about the latest in Twitter gossip and hot news. Look, everybody, you probably know Elon Musk. He's a very successful businessman. I think his entry into the world of mega mogul businessmen was very virtuous. I believe he invented PayPal or played a big role in bringing it to us, revolutionizing the world in the late 90s. Since then, his work with Tesla, I think, is more controversial from the perspective of Ayn Rand Center UK. It's very glorious and successful, of course, in business. But of course, he is no stranger to government collaboration. Now, when it comes to his work in the culture, in the so-called culture war, you know, on Twitter, he definitely does not get pushed over easy by the social justice left. And the question is he for anything positive? Is he for business? Is he for individual rights? No, he's not. But that doesn't mean that doesn't mean he's the worst out there either. So rather than me standing here doing one of my lengthy intros, I want to bring on my co-host today. This is somebody who, studies the cosmos, a cosmetologist of sorts.
That's right.
A doctor. Listen, Elon Musk, you've accomplished a lot, but you're no doctor. Please welcome Dr. Amanda Maxim.
All right. Thanks for having me, Rakan. I'm excited because we meet again, sir. And also, I'm still not that kind of doctor. So you're
still not a medical doctor?
No.
I've been hammering that joke so long. I figured it's been long enough for you to go through medical school by now. So here's what happened on Twitter. Sadly, for better or for worse, the sort of center of culture and history moving along in recent years. Twitter is where it all takes place. I'm not really exaggerating. Bernie Sanders tweeted, "We must demand that the extremely wealthy pay their fair share, period." And then Elon Musk replied to that saying, "I keep forgetting that you're still alive." And then a few minutes later, he continued, Elon, saying, "Want me to sell more stock, Bernie? Just say the word." That's, I think, referring to something recent that Elon Musk did. Are you familiar with what he's referring to there?
I'm not. So you were to explain that joke to me.
I'll try to explain it. Recently, Elon Musk got on Twitter and said, "Should I sell 10% of my stock? Just you vote." And like, I think he posted a poll or something. And of course, people voted, yeah, sell it. So I think that means he ends up paying taxes on those gains. Is that what it means for him to sell his stock? Because up until then, people say you don't pay your taxes. And his answer would be, "Well, I'm not, you know, it's in stocks. Like it's worth more than it was yesterday, but I'm not the one, you know, the cash is not in my possession." I think that's what all that means. So anyway, so he's like telling Bernie, like, "Hey, you want me?" So first of all, him doing that, I think, is silly. Yeah. It's goofy. It sort of adds to this goofy role that Elon Musk plays, which is there's something sweet and benevolent about it. A little bit reminds me of the show Billions, which is another cultural item worth talking about. Have you seen Billions?
I haven't, so I'm completely out of touch.
It's an interesting show. The main character is a mixed bag. On one hand, he's this billionaire that like is sort of unapologetic. But in another respect, he is apologetic and he is lacking an ego. He's lacking an ethics of egoism. So sort of a microcosm of what's so right and so wrong with the capitalist system, the semi-capitalistic system we live in. So Elon Musk, another example of this, he's got all the tools he needs to be a completely private businessman without taking a penny from the government, without having any sort of government favors. But for one reason or another, he ended up collaborating with the government, you know, for his Tesla, I think, and for SpaceX, I'm guessing. Maybe.
It seems unavoidable to collaborate with the government. I mean, if you want to get something big done, I think you're up against it. And I don't know his feelings or thoughts about that collaboration, which would be important to sort out, but. The fact that he does, yeah, okay, that's not so cool. But on the other hand, what else are you supposed to do? You've got some huge ambitious goal.
That's a fair point. So I remember back. So I think what we would ask of him, if we could make a wish, we would say, speak out against what's wrong with the system. You know, like use your voice to say, yes, I'm taking assistance and help from the government the same way I drive on the roads. But the next chance I get to privatize and to desubsidize and do all of that and deregulate, I'll be the first to vote in that.
That would be awesome for him to speak out. But more than that, I wish that he had more clarity surrounding the issues involved, because I think that would give him more spiritual fuel to keep going and doing the awesome stuff that he's doing. And that would be the benefit. It would be the benefit to everybody that he would be clear about what's happening, what's the right thing to do, what's the actual context. That would be amazing. And in a way, I think this tweet about Bernie Sanders, it is a small act of justice. And it's one of the things that made me really smile about it. You know, when Rozzy asked me to be on the show today, and my first inclination was to say no, because I don't know that much about politics. I don't really even follow it. I'm just not interested. And so I'm sure there are people that are out there like you, for example, who are much more, you're qualified just to talk about politics and the way things are and how people interact with the system and what's right and what's wrong about that interaction. And I'm just not, I'm nearly 0% interested, but I saw Elon Musk's name and I thought, oh yeah, I don't want to miss the opportunity to talk about him because he is awesome. And so I wrote a list of, I was going to say the top 10 beautiful things about this tweet, but wow, I only made it to number 5. So,
okay. Are they in any particular order? Like
no.
from worst to best? Okay.
They're in random order from Amanda's brain.
Why don't you tell me one of them now, and we'll revisit the list as we continue.
All right. So number one, Elon Musk exists. He knows what he wants and he knows how to get it. And he sends rocket ships into space, among other things. And he gives me this feeling of triumph, like watching what he's doing. I looked up, you probably have this book too, right? There's my favorite essay that Ayn Rand wrote is in here. It's called Apollo 11. That maybe should come as no surprise to you. But let me see if I can find it here. I really want to read this to you. I also I don't want to be boring on your show though. But
it would not be boring, but it would be it would take a little bit longer than the amount of time we have.
Much time do we have? Oh my goodness.
We're try to keep it under, 30 right. minutes or something.
Yeah.
Do you want to read an excerpt?
Yeah. Let me read an excerpt. So Ayn Rand went to the Apollo 11 launch. And this is my favorite essay because she captures this feeling of triumph of this rocket ship taking off. So here she describes the rocket. It began with a large patch of bright yellow-orange flame shooting sideways from under the base of the rocket. It looked like a normal kind of flame, and I felt an instant shock of anxiety, as if this were a building on fire. In the next instant, the flame and the rocket were hidden by such a sweep of dark red fire that the anxiety vanished. This was not part of any normal experience and could not be integrated with anything. The dark red fire parted into two gigantic wings, as if a hydrant was shooting streams of fire outward and up towards the zenith, and between the two wings, against a pitch black sky, the rocket rose slowly, so slowly that it seemed to hang still in the air, a pale cylinder with a blinding oval of white light at the bottom, like an upturned candle with its flame directed at the earth. It's like so beautifully put. And the thing about Elon Musk, the reason I wanted to read that is because he gives me that feeling. I've had the joy of watching his rocket launches on TV and even seeing them up in the sky here in Southern California. And that's the feeling he gives me. So that's number one. Elon Musk exists, and that is such a powerfully good thing. He's a man who knows what he wants and he knows how to get it. And I want to be the person cheering him on. So.
Wow. Well, that's really nice. Very profound. I've never really been emotionally moved by the moon landing or by the rocket launch or anything like that, but I know virtually everyone else seems to be. Which, you know, I'm not saying that as an evaluation of myself or anything like that. I would rather go to a Star Trek museum expo, which I have, rather than go to, let's say, NASA and see the real rocket ships. I don't know. I've always just been much more interested in art and entertainment. When it comes to Elon Musk, like, to me, PayPal is super, super revolutionary and cool. But yeah, I mean, the fact that he's getting private citizens into space, I understand, is a huge accomplishment. Me trying to begin to accomplish that would be absolutely impossible, because it is amazing. I understand it's amazing on paper. I just, it's interesting to kind of step back and look at that. It really is incredible. Okay. Now, his slight against Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
What if he was saying that to, somebody that we do like, or that somebody we don't dislike as much as Bernie? Like, what if he would, like, that kind of insult? Is that like, is that making the world like a more rational place, you know?
No, I mean, ultimately, no. And it's such a small little thing that it's almost, in a way, like, I don't know what to make of it. I don't know how it integrates into the bigger picture of who Elon Musk is, what his real, what his thoughts and feelings are about politics, about the world. But that is number two on my list. That,
okay, what's number two?
I did forget that Bernie Sanders existed, and that's such a good thing. Like,
it is a good thing, but it's also because everyone else has moved so far in Bernie's direction that Bernie is not the anomaly. It's not shocking to hear a politician call himself a socialist anymore, and it's not shocking to hear a candidate for president talking about breaking up this and nationalizing that. So,
it's true, and I don't want to be the cheerleader, because I know what you're saying, that sometimes when you hear someone insult someone that you don't like, it's like, yeah, and you get this good feeling, and then you hear them do the same thing to someone that you do like, and it's like, oh, you kind of realize how hollow the first feeling was. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to be like that. But I also think that this is a small act of justice in the world. In an equal act of justice, I spent 0 minutes preparing for this interview, studying Bernie Sanders. I read his tweet. It's boring. Like, it's pretty obvious. You know, you get to, who gets to decide what's fair? Well, probably Bernie Sanders or his gang of thugs, right? And they're going to be the ones that decide how much Elon Musk has to pay from the real wealth and the real positive and the real good that he's created. How much that, is fair for him to take away. Yeah, I've heard that before. It's boring. I am so happy that that Elon Musk said something, because I don't know if Bernie Sanders is like the ultimate evil. He's an evil person, clearly. I don't know if I were to write a villain in a story of Bernie Sanders, I could probably come up with someone even more evil than him. But yeah, I'm happy that in some way that Bernie Sanders got some tiny fraction of a percent of his comeuppance by Elon Musk, someone who's this amazing guy saying to him, hey, I forgot that you even existed. Are you still alive? It's great.
Yeah, it is great. And I wish all billionaires, or all businessmen, or many more of them, would talk back at these politicians and just say, like, first of all, you work for us. Second of all, you're envious. You're driving envy in the culture. You're trying to rile up my employees and my neighbors and the people, my customers, against me. Like, why? Like, who are you? Like, the more people would call out Bernie, the better the place the world would be. But I specifically, I'm taking note of like the slam dunk sort of like kind of sneering type of insult that Elon shot at him, which we've seen so much more in the culture of in the age of the internet. I think, past generations, whatever, just past decades, people in past decades would be embarrassed to speak that way in public. Definitely. And Donald Trump obviously has, not slowed down this process. So seeing this type of behavior on Twitter, anywhere, it's not making the world a better place, in that it's not leading more people to think critically and to communicate effectively. So I much prefer the time that Amazon tweeted at Pocahontas. Sorry, I know that's kind of me doing the insult that I was just decrying. Elizabeth Warren, we had a special impromptu episode of the Daily Objective over a weekend, which is unusual because of how exciting this was to see a company as big as Amazon actually tweet back at Elizabeth Warren when she said something like first they questioned her statistics that she was citing about the rich paying no taxes or Amazon paying no taxes. And then in response to their tweet at her, Elizabeth Warren said something like, oh, well, we're going to tax you properly once I'm in charge or something like that. And Amazon said, pay attention, everybody. Like a candidate for president is threatening a company, a private company, in response to criticism. Like that's how she's treating the taxing process, something like that. So, you know, it was more of a thoughtful response to Elizabeth Warren, but obviously not nearly as sexy and flashy as, hey, I forgot you were dead, bro. Or I thought you were dead, Bernie.
Yeah, no, obviously we need the thoughtful, deep responses, and those are all good. But yeah, I have to say that seeing him just, you know, sort of stand up for himself in that way was some measure of satisfaction for me to see that. And I wish it was more, and I wish there was, you know, there was more business people realized their value, and they weren't infected with this, with the ideas that everybody thinks that your moral purpose in life is to work for other people and to give them things. And I wish they weren't infected with that. And to the extent they aren't, I think that's a good thing. But yeah, I don't know. I also viewed it, you said it was kind of snarky, and I guess that's true. I also kind of view it as playful on Musk's part. And that's one of the things that I like about him.
I mean, the number one insult people throw, or one of the top insults people throw at Ayn Rand is just, oh, she's irrelevant. Like nobody reads, nobody cares about her anymore. She's a has-been, like she's irrelevant. And that's the commonplace insult of the times we live in. You know, the number one sort of insult is just like, oh, like you're irrelevant. Like you don't matter. So yeah, I definitely get some glee watching something like this, but I obviously it would be a very short episode if we only focused on the positive. There is some things that concern me about this. Are we up to number three on your list?
I already spilled the beans on number three. Okay. It's number three is Elon Musk gives Bernie Sanders some fraction of his comeuppance, and that was deeply satisfying. So I guess number four is Elon Musk's profile picture. So if you haven't seen it, go to Twitter and check it out. It's of his rocket ship Starship. And this, again, it's just going to be me gushing about Elon Musk having nothing to do with politics or anything like that. But it's he just seems like such a force for positive in the world. I see his profile picture and it makes me laugh. It makes me smile. I love the way that he names his spaceships, like, and his autonomous drone ship, Of Course I Still Love You. And that replaced the drone ship, Just Read the Instructions. I love his attitude about the world and that the world is there for him, that it's his playground. And I hope, you know, just based on what I see him doing in the world, that, you know, I hope he feels great about himself and sort of an overwhelming and uncontainable joy about life. Because that's certainly one of the positive values that I get from him. So I was happy to go to Twitter and to see Elon Musk had changed his profile picture, and it made me smile. So that's number four on my list.
That's really nice. And it sounds like he is kind of fueling your life in the way he fuels his equipment. Mm-hmm. And that's wonderful. He does seem very likable and just very, like somebody I would want to hang around, you know, which I can't say the same about Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos. But I like Elon Musk. He's like a funny guy. I mean, he's like funny, or he's in on the joke or something. He's definitely a cool billionaire. He's the newest generation of billionaires. You know, they're like Mark Cuban is one of these guys. Similarly, wears like sandals and shorts. And when he's asked, like, what's your favorite restaurant to eat at? He's like, the taquitos at 7-Eleven. Like, I don't know. So, all right. How about we read some super chats and then we'll get to the final item on your list. All right.
Okay.
Sammy's bored again. Thank you. Thank you, Jeff Bannister. Thank you, Jonathan Honig. Thank you, Sammy's bored again. Thank you, Jeff, again for 10K Canadian dollars. He says, I loved his previous End World Poverty Challenge tweet better. What was that? I'm guessing you don't know, Amanda.
Sorry, I don't.
All right, hold on. End World Poverty.
There was only something at the tips of your fingertips where you could look it up.
Thank God we have Google, so we could literally be searching live on the air while speaking to dozens of people live on the internet.
You might bore that man again. Who said he was bored? Who's this person on the
screen? Sammy is a woman, and that is just her screen name. Okay. She is actually the opposite of ever bored. She's always posting laughing, crying emojis, which is the opposite of bored. I can't find the story behind End World Poverty, but that's great news for you, Jeff, because you can fill us in on that. Yeah. Marilyn with $5 says, what Elon said is equivalent to Rourke saying to Tuhi, but I don't think of you. I got to push back a little bit.
Yeah.
Because
he made me think about Bernie Sanders. So the point was really just to like let him fade away.
This has bigger implications. First of all, okay. So in The Fountainhead, on page 600 out of an 800 novel page novel, I'm obviously just estimating from the top of my head, but deep into the novel, Tuhi corners Howard Rourke, basically approaches him uninvited. Repeatedly asks him to make a comment, repeatedly pushes him, and finally Rourke just says, but I don't think of you. And that's that. That is not getting on Twitter and dropping a sexy zinger in front of millions of people. The two are just not the same. That doesn't mean Howard Rourke is the only type of person that should exist, or that Howard Rourke's comeback is the only way that those words should ever be said, but it's just not equivalent. It's just not the same. And it kind of, for me, raises bigger questions like how good should deal with evil in public? And I know having it be sexy is sexy. But at a certain point, I mean, we do have to keep in mind, going back to Rourke in The Fountainhead, that is Rand wrote, Atlas Shrugged and The Fountainhead, like roughly a decade for each one, 800 pages or something, and then 1100 pages. You have to work hard for those sexy moments. You know, you got to really get invested to get those zingers and those mic drop moments. So it's just not the same.
I think not a philosopher, neither am I a literary an analyst, someone who analyzes literature. But I always thought that moment meant that Rourke, he doesn't dwell on bad things in life and evil people. It's not like occupying his brain space. It's not like he's wondering, oh, what should I do to appease this guy or to make him like me? Or none of those things cross his mind, because he's such a force for good in the world and in his life. It's not productive. It doesn't occupy the space in his mind. So that's my very shallow take on it. And maybe there's a part of that in what Elon Musk says, that, I forgot that you were there clamoring for, to to take out my knees and to, want to take what's mine. I guess fraction of it there.
Upon further thought, I could sort of see the comparison to, but I don't think of you, because Bernie is attacking people like Elon Musk and a small pool of people that way. And he's publicly responding to it. I'll try to be more positive in this case, but not all the time, though. I'm still going to be very negative the rest of the time. I'm kidding.
All right. You got the rest of the day.
I think you've made me like Elon Musk more just by making me think about him. Cause but I don't think about him that much. I don't, it's like, he's just never really been on my radar. Like I said, real space travel has never really attracted me that much. So for that reason, I haven't paid much attention. Also, because of his affiliation with electric cars, I've always considered him to be kind of a nerd. But yeah, then I actually sat in a Tesla one day and I said, okay, I like this. So now I like him. But the more I think of Elon Musk, yeah, it's like like everything you're saying rings true. And his personality just seems like the world is his oyster. And really, not only the world, but the solar system is becoming his oyster as well. He is living his life. People have said, I look like him a little bit. And always assumed he was Israeli because his name is like a Hebrew word meaning tree, I think. Elon, or a type of tree, a breed of tree. And then I found out he is not actually Israeli. He is an imposter. He said, how do I become a billionaire? I know. I'll have an Israeli name, and it'll all be handed to me as part of the conspiracy network. Oh. Good going, Elon. Good, smart thinking. All right. But Bernie Sanders is on to you, Elon. He knows you're not part of the tribe. This should all be very clear. This is all one big act of one big joke. The last 20 seconds of me talking, it's all satire. Obviously, with the internet, people could take it very literally and actually sure. agree with it.
I was taking it literally.
Yeah. All right. Sammy's board again, once again with 99 pence. Ooh, Roland with 4.99 euros.
That's the best.
That's the best of all the currencies. Euros are the highest. He says, I've forgotten Bernie exists too. Laughing, crying emoji. I just want a quick PSA. Laughing, crying emojis are cool when you're saying something that's not negative. But when you insult somebody online, and this doesn't apply to Roland, but when you do insult somebody directly, if you like send somebody a message or a comment or a tweet insulting them directly and you use the laughing, crying emoji, in my opinion, you are betraying your lack of confidence. Laughing, crying emoji does not look confident when you're insulting somebody. So I just wanted to give that advice to all the people out there insulting people.
Thank you for the tip.
Sure. Use it. Use it in good health. Robert with $2 says, happy face. Is Elon Musk the happiest man alive? You guys got to get him on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. So I should probably put that in here. Like, I know the chances that Elon Musk will ever listen to this are pretty low. But if you are listening, I'd love to talk to you because
Elon,
you are really a candidate for the happiest man alive, I think.
It wouldn't surprise me if he is watching because he seems like somebody that would kind of go down the rabbit hole on YouTube, come across this episode and sit through it. Kind of like Kanye West, another sort of kindred spirit of mine that is a very mixed bag. And maybe a lot of people who watch us here would think Kanye is more negative than positive, but that's a whole entire episode of its own. But I mean, how did Kanye become such a political, like Trump political force in recent years? I think he went down a rabbit hole of watching people like Rubin and Jordan Peterson. People saw like clips of him, like pictures of him where in the corner of his computer screen, you see a Jordan Peterson video and stuff like that. And he ended up tweeting, I love the way Candace Owen thinks, which obviously was very controversial. She's a right-leaning Republican Trump fan. Anyway, but I want to remind people, I'm wagging my finger right now. I want to remind you what my good friend Ben Shapiro tweeted. And now I'm using the Bill Clinton, really all politician.
You can use the Disneyland gesture too in this way.
To my point. Is this it? Am I doing it?
It's like you got to point with more than one finger.
Okay.
Like, it's rude to point with one finger.
This looks angry, right? Okay, I'll do the politician thing where I'm not pointing, I'm doing this. All right, anyway, so my very good friend and other kindred spirit, Ben Shapiro, around the time that Kanye West was blowing up and became the new conservative sweetheart because of his support of Trump, Ben Shapiro tweeted, he said, Dear conservatives, live by Kanye, die by Kanye. You get what he's saying?
No.
He's saying like kind of what I said at the start of this episode, like you like what Kanye is saying now, but don't be shocked if a minute from now he's saying something that completely drives you nuts. Same with Elon Musk. It's quite possible that, tomorrow, Yaron Brook tweets, you know, privatize, all business and nobody should get any subsidies. Stop subsidies to billionaires. Let's say that's the tweet, or stop subsidies to anyone. Let's say that's the tweet. And Elon says, okay, Ayn Rand guy, like anyone remembers you exist. Like, so live by Elon, die by Elon. Remember, folks, you call him Howard Rourke today, but you're going to have to eat your words possibly in the future. And thank you, Sammy's board again for yet another 99 pence. And I just want to read, this is not a super chat. This is what we call the nosebleed lowest of undesirables, which AKA a non-super chat comment. I'm joking. But Jeff, who did super chat, he follows up. He says about the end world poverty thing. He says, Elon challenged the UN, who said $6 billion would end it. $6 billion would end world poverty. So he did it. He said he would put up the money if he had open, if the, oh, that's funny. Okay. Jeff, please learn. I don't mean to insult you, but please learn how to read and write like a human being. I need to sit here and read through your typos. I apologize for yelling at you, but please. Okay. Jeff points out in Jeff's summary, what happened was the UN said $6 billion would end world poverty. And Elon Musk, it sounds like, said, oh, I'll gladly give you that $6 billion if there's open accounting. So we see where all the money is going and it's all accounted for perfectly. That's a pretty good. He's got what they call FU money, right? He could say, yeah, sure. Here's $6 billion. I just want to see what you do with it.
Yeah. I got Dylan in the chat here else, or in our chat, says that he said Elon Musk tweeted if they can describe on Twitter how exactly the $6 billion would solve world hunger, he would sell Tesla stock right now and do it. So the idea is like, yeah, you don't really have a plan. What are you talking about? It's not going to solve anything. You don't know how it would do it.
And also we want to see open. If he did say, I want to open accounting, that's also a statement at the UN. Like, where does all that money go? You guys seem to be doing very well financially, all of you UN diplomats and operatives. You seem to live very comfortably. Where exactly does all this money go that you keep on sucking out of the world? But the United Nations is science fiction writers could not have sold a story like of the world we live in, where the United Nations exists the way it does, having the worst, bloodiest butchers sitting next to the freest of decent countries leaders, and they're all taken equally seriously. And in fact, the good countries are condemned more heavily, and everyone funds that. The good countries fund it and host it here in America. I mean, you could not convince people that this was even imaginable. But with a grasp of philosophy, with understanding of the role of altruism and egalitarianism, I think we can begin to understand how this could be.
Philosophy can show you how like festering cesspools like that can come into existence and just be treated as normal.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
but fortunately we have a way out. We have an antidote. Please everybody read Ayn Rand and study her philosophy. And she's more than an antidote. She's an antidote and also a miracle drug that makes you then get more healthy than you needed to be, right? You become buff and you turn into Elon Musk basically. So it's more than just an antidote. It's a steroid. It's a steroid.
A steroid. Okay. Yeah. You turn into Elon Musk, only you're yourself and you're awesomer. So go forth.
All right. Those are all the super chats. Do we have another item on your list of what
you liked? I have number five, and it's probably a good closer. It's that I got to spend time thinking about Elon Musk, because he's my hero. And I like heroes. I know that he's into heroes as well. If you have time, you should check out, there's this clip of him talking about, I think Neil Armstrong insulted him and told him, like, said like, oh, SpaceX is just like the grocery go-getters of the space program, or they shouldn't be doing it. It should, like, they're not capable. They're not going to be able to do it. And there's an interview. I want to say Mike Wallace, but I don't know. It's not like, probably not him. Some old guy. Anyway, where Elon Musk, he starts to cry about it because his hero insulted, you know, told him that he wasn't good enough and that he couldn't do it. So I know those things are important to him and they're important to me too. And that's what I take from him, is this sort of spiritual fuel to help me keep going in my life, that I look up to him and I see the things that he does, the awesome things that he does. And he, like I said, he's a man who knows what he wants and he knows how to get it. And he's literally sending rocket ships up into space. And that's something to admire and something that makes my life better. And so I'm really happy that I got to spend some time this morning thinking about him.
Wow.
And if you're listening, please call me.
Elon, can we just get you on the show? Elon, we need to talk.
We do.
That's all. I think we should have a conversation.
All right. Yeah. And not like a boring one either.
Boring or not boring. We need to talk, Elon. We need to have a conversation. I never knew that about him, about Neil Armstrong saying that. And then his response, that is very sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. You could see the, you just see the heartbreak of that. So I know how important his goals are to him, and that he's got that sense of life that I share. And that's one of the things that I really love about him. So check it out.
Yeah. All right. We will check it out. Everybody, all thank right. you for joining us today. Coming up at 8:30 UK time, James Valiant and Don Watkins will discuss Basic Principles of Literature. I don't know if that is that the name of an essay by Leonard Peikoff or a lecture he gave, or are they just going to discuss the topic of Basic Principles of Literature?
You are asking the wrong doctor. The
wrong person. It's a Rand essay, Dylan says he believes. So that's Dylan's belief, and we're going to respect that. Gail with $3 says, great to see you again, Amanda. I'm a big fan. Well, isn't that nice?
Thank you, Gail. Awesome. I'm honored.
Did you know you had a lot of fans?
I knew I had, one fan, which is my mom. Mm. And now I have two. So awesome.
Well, knowing how Elon Musk makes you feel, it must be nice to know you get to play that role in Gail's life as well. She's a big fan.
Cool.
All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. You know, it's interesting the times we live in, seeing this kind of behavior on Twitter by such public figures. History is accelerating, and it can be accelerating in the best or the worst of directions. The deciding factor, in my opinion, is ideas, is philosophy. And I think one of the things that could turn into like my final thought, like Jerry Springer, the thing that I think could really be a game changer is if one of the next billionaires takes Ayn Rand very seriously, you know, who feels like Ayn Rand's philosophy is as conducive to his happiness as a lot of us here. So there's a good chance of that happening. You know, I'm not exaggerating. A lot of very bright people watch us. A lot of very influential people will come of this. So thank you, Amanda, for helping us with this show today. And when the next billionaire is willing to put a little bit of his or her fortune and influence towards spreading objectivism, that could definitely literally save the world from an impending dark age. So you might want to look out for that. And you might want to get started on saving up that billion, all of you scientists and doctors. All right, everybody, enough with the filibuster. Thank you, Mary Aline, for the $1.99. And we are going to jump over to Clubhouse for a little bit. Thank you all. And
yeah, thanks for having me today, Rucka. I appreciate it. It's been a pleasure.
I'm just trying to do the right thing. Thank you all, and goodbye.